It's a financial scandal that crashed Mozambique's economy. A court has now begun to deliver its verdict against 19 former officials who are accused of crimes that include money laundering and bribery. So, how will the nation move on? Can it move on? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I'm Adrian Finnegan. It's become known as the hidden debt scandal and is one of the biggest corruption cases on the African continent this century. A court in Mozambique has begun to deliver its verdict, which is expected to take 5 days, in the trial of 19 people who are accused of a wide range of financial crimes in connection with the $2 billion scheme. The defendants are mostly former senior government officials, including the son of an ex-president. We'll bring in our guests in just a moment, but first, let's take a closer look at this case. The accusations relate to a number of deals made in 2013 and 2014. Three state-owned firms borrowed more than $2 billion, arranged mostly in secret with the help of the investment banks Credit Suisse and VTB. They said it was to help build a new fishing fleet, but instead it was spent on military gunships, while hundreds of millions of dollars were reportedly paid in kickbacks. Those accused of benefiting include senior politicians and officials in Mozambique and European bankers. When the scandal emerged in 2016, the IMF and World Bank suspended funding to Mozambique. That triggered a sovereign debt default and the currency, the Metical, collapsed. The economic fallout has pushed an estimated 1.9 million people in Mozambique into poverty. So let's bring in our guests for today's discussion. They're all joining us from Mozambique. From Maputo, we're joined by Denise Namboreti, who is the founder and executive director of an organisation for social change in Mozambique called Nweti. From Maramu in Mozambique, Fernando Lima is the founder of Media Coup, the first independent Mozambican media group, and an investigative journalist. And again from Maputo, Borges Namire, a researcher at the anti-corruption non-profit watchdog Public Integrity Centre. A warm welcome to you all. Denise, we'll start with a deceptively simple question on a discussion around an incredibly complex topic here. I have a feeling that wherever we start this discussion, it will be the wrong place to start, but we've got to start somewhere. How did this scandal come to light?
The scandal came to light in 2016 when the Wall Street Journal decided to publish a story on the fraud. Three recently created companies from Mozambique contracted $2.4 billion debt with Credit Suisse, who arranged with investors in the U.S. And as far as we know, the investors in the U.S. They denounced the fraud to the Department of Justice, U.S. Department of Justice, who started an investigation. And part of that, during that investigation, Wall Street Journal had access to information and they basically disclosed all the fraud.
And before that, no one knew anything about it. It had been kept secret.
In fact, we knew, as a budget monitoring forum, we knew about the Matun loan. We knew about the $850 million loan because it was included in the budget, in the state budget. And at the time, we were analyzing the state budget and we questioned the Minister of Finance and the budget committee from the parliament about that amount in the budget. At the time, it was said to us that it was meant for fishing boats and for defense. And the money was split into portions for fishing boat and defense. So we knew about one of the loans, but not about the other two loans, the MAM and the Pro Indicus loan.
And nobody smelled a rat, is that right?
No, yes, you're right.
Okay. Fernando, there are 19 defendants in this trial. Who's in the dock? Have the right people been charged? And will civil society in Mozambique get the accountability, the justice that it deserves?
It seems so. Eventually, not everybody will be on trial or will be sentenced. But yes, a number of significant people involved in this fraud, yes, they sat at this trial. And this involves people related to former President Armando Guebuza, top people at our security apparatus, and all other people that were cooperating with the scam related to the monies that were brought from Credit Suisse and VTB Bank, Russian bank.
So to what extent will the verdict mean that some people who are involved in this scandal get away with it? And will that be enough to satisfy civil society there in Mozambique?
Well, according to what civil society have already expressed and made public, not at all, because the position of civil society organizations is related to the state that should be reimbursed for all the damage that have been caused to the Mozambican state. And so at this point, what have been recovered from those loans are related to what these people have bought with the monies they got from this Lebanese company based in Abu Dhabi. So this is just about 10% of the whole money involved, which is $2.2 billion. So a minimum amount of those monies involved in this scandal have been recovered or are potentially to be recovered, not the large amount of the money. But at the same time, there is an action now being placed in London, and eventually the state could also recover money related to that from Privinvest, which is the company involved in a fraud, and also from the banks involved in the fraud, which are, again, Credit Suisse and VTB.
Borges, as we said at the beginning of the programme, the court has begun to deliver its verdict. How fair was the trial? Can we be confident that justice will be served in this case? Is there any reason to doubt the independence of the court?
I think the court is independent enough. So it brought before the courts people who are very important in Mozambique. I understand that some people are questioning how the court is independent. This is because we are all skeptical about the independence of justice as a system in Mozambique. But for this case, we are seeing the son of the former president being tried, also the former head of the intelligence service being tried, and other top official in the government. So the court is independent, and all the issues have been openly discussed in the court. It is good that the judge decided to broadcast live the trial so that everyone can watch it from Facebook page, from listening from the radio, TV. But this is not enough because the people who are being tried here are not the top leaders, are not the one who decided to contract the debt. So the former president, Guebuza, who was the top leader of the country when the debt has been contracted, he has not been tried and never, not even indicted. And also the current president, Filipe Nyusi, who was the minister of defense and has a lot to do with debt, also has not been brought before the court. So while I believe this is an independent and good and important trial, some important people are still missing.
Borges, we said at the beginning of the programme that this loan deal was kept hidden from Parliament. Why were the justice system and Parliament unable to oversee the actions of the executive in the first place there in Mozambique when this original loan was taken out? Why did Mozambique's checks and balances fail?
It's simply because Mozambique is an authoritarian regime where the executive power is superior, and sometimes it controls the other powers, like the justice and the parliament. It's simply like that, because the president at that time could tell their his ruling party members of the parliament to ignore the law. It happened indeed in 2014 when the parliament decided to legalize the debt, which is illegal. So this is because in this regime, authoritarian regime, the executive power controls the others.
Denise, do you want to pick up on that point for me and why this original loan deal was kept hidden from Parliament? Why wasn't the IMF notified about it? I mean, doesn't this in itself prove criminal intent?
Yes, it does prove criminal intent. And I think the fact that former minister, finance minister, is still arrested in Johannesburg, awaiting for the decision of the courts about his extradition to Mozambique, either to Mozambique or to the United States, it's a clear indication of criminal intent. And I think that, as Borges is saying, the fact that we have an authoritarian regime, which actually makes the parliament, the majority of the parliament is made of the ruling party, which doesn't allow any independence and neutrality in the rulings of the parliament. So it gives all the opportunities for illegal debt to be contracted yet in Mozambique. Not only this debt, but we still see debts being contracted in Mozambique without the approval of the parliament. That's still happening. And fortunately, systems are not yet in place to prevent, to provide full transparency for media and for civil society to scrutinize on the debts that are contracted, public debts specifically, that are contracted by the government.
So what you're saying is, far from throwing things wide open, this scandal has actually had the opposite effect, in that it's reduced democratic activity there in Mozambique. The state has become more authoritarian as it tries to cover up its actions.
Yes, it does. It does. And we feel that somehow we feel that donors supporting Mozambique are now going back to the state budget. They are going back to supporting the government of Mozambique with funding without minimal conditions of transparency and accountability being introduced in our public financial system, which means that we will continue to contract debt illegally.
Fernando, who benefited from this $2 billion loan, which was meant to be for, what, a fishing fleet? Except for bribes, very little of that money actually went to Mozambique, did it?
Yeah, that's the truth, because all the materials that were supposed to arrive in Mozambique and to be being used, for example, by the armed forces, by security forces, they are damaged, they are not working, the surveillance systems are not working. So, and according to an audit that have been done on the materials provided to Mozambican state, it seems that it was part of the scam not to provide proper equipment to Mozambique. So Mozambique was deceptive on different grounds. Not only did not receive the proper equipment that have been promised to the country, the prices were scandalous. So all materials and equipments were overpriced. A lot of people benefit from the scam in terms of bribes. When I'm saying a lot of people, people outside of the government, including Swiss bank officials that have been bribed by Privinvest, the Lebanese company, and other people that we, as Borges said before, we don't know to what extent they benefit from this scam, namely people within Frelimo Party, which is the ruling party, and the government of Mozambique. So we do not know yet to what extent there were other beneficiaries and there were other damages that have been committed against the Mozambican state.
Given that, Fernando, and picking up on something that you were talking about a few minutes ago, what hope then is there of Mozambique recovering any of this stolen money, which in many cases has already been converted into other assets like property?
Yes, Mozambique is being very active to recover those monies. But as I emphasized before, this is a little portion of that. And I hope that the Mozambican state, with their judicial legal actions in the court of London, they will manage to extract from Credit Suisse and from Privinvest, the company that provides all the materials, some additional monies related to all these scams. So this trial that we are talking about here is just a small portion of the whole scandal. And of course, in London, we have also a situation in which Mozambique, the Mozambican state, will try to not pay back the credits and the loans they got from the two banks involved in the scam.
Borges, what damage has this done to Mozambique's international standing and reputation?
A lot. I think Mozambique will never recover all the damage that this debt has created. This is something that will take a generation, because it must be seen in different dimensions. So part of talking about the economic damage, which is very high, which I did participate in it a couple of years ago, concluded that up to 2019, $11 billion was the economic damage that Mozambique has gotten from this debt. But despite the economic damage, there's damage in terms of a democracy, which, as Denise said, it has downgraded a lot. The government tried to control the situation, and by crackdowning the freedom of the citizen, freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of press. So all this kind of damage has been created or is related to this debt. But also, if we look to a global index of democracy, freedom, human rights, since the debt has been discovered, we'll see that Mozambique is falling, and is falling a lot. And the reputation as well. There is a kind of joke that the president has said in TV. He said, look, when I go to the summer meetings in Washington for IMF, they say, oh, look, he has just arrived as the president of chief. This is something that is happening. As myself as a citizen, when I meet someone, what they ask me about is not about how is tourism in Mozambique, not how is the gas in Mozambique, it's how is the debt in Mozambique. Mm-hmm. So this is something that will never recover, maybe in the next 50 years.
Denise, as the founder and executive director of an organization that campaigns for social change in Mozambique, I want to ask about what impact this has had on ordinary people there. When the scandal first came in to light, the currency halved in value against the US dollar. As we said, the IMF withdrew its support. How has that impacted the economy, the financial health of its people? What impact has it had on public spending?
A lot. It has been tremendous. Immediately after the disclosure of the loans, as you said, donors withdrew from the state budget, and that led Mozambique, the government, to implement austerity measures, and cuts were made to the health, education, water and sanitation sectors. And that had a direct impact in how people access medication, you know, how they access medicine, how they access health services. We have seen that the health network and the health education network has become stagnant since the discovery of this disclosure of these loans. And above all, I think the impact has been in the pocket of the citizens. The economic impact has been tremendous, because we have seen since 2017 that investors are thinking twice before investing in Mozambique. That means it affects the fiscal space of the country for development, for investment. So The Mozambicans, they're being penalized twice. One for, you know, having to live day by day with the impact of the illegal debt, and twice by, you know, having to pay for the Ematun loan, which is being paid every 3 months. And in addition to that, the economy is stagnant. The economy is not growing, which means it has a tremendous impact in the citizens.
Okay, Fernando, 2 million people, additional people, pushed into to poverty. And as Denise was saying, that loan that still needs to be paid, it hasn't gone away. Is it going to be forced to continue servicing that debt plus additional costs? I mean, what further damage is that going to cause?
Well, theoretically, that's the scenario. It's a very, very difficult scenario ahead. That's why I think the government had decided that the good strategy to also raising doubts about paying back that debt. In fact, unfortunately, the government is already paying the monies involved in Ematun, the boat company. So the tuna fishing company is not working, never worked, but because there are private investors, mainly investors in the United States, involved in those bonds of the tuna fishing company, Mozambique and the Ministry of Finance is paying back that particular loan. What is not being paid up to now is the loan for the company that was providing all the equipment for security purposes, and another company that was involved in theoretically assuming the maintenance of all these security equipment. So yes, these loans are still pending on the Mozambican people, on the government of Mozambique, but I hope that we will never pay part of that loan.
Borges, could something like this happen again in Mozambique? Is it happening again? And what about elsewhere in Africa? Are there enough checks, balances, and transparency in the system to prevent something like this happening again?
And unfortunately, the answer is yes. This is something that might happen again in Mozambique. And this is something that maybe is happening at this time, maybe in a couple of years, when this government of President Nyusi leaves the power, we will see that there is more a hidden debt, because the problem has not been solved. We see this trial, which is the first trial, and this is not the final decision that the court is going to take. But also, we see that people who contracted the debt, they are proud of that. For example, the former president, Gibuza, he has said, and he keeps saying, I could do it again because I did it for my country. So people, they feel they have done the right thing. So, and while Frelimo keeps on power and while the authoritarian regime continues, this is something that might happen again. About your question on the continent, I think it will go through country to country, because if we see this private company first approached the Nigerian government to try to give the same loan, but they have refused to take the loan. So we have seen that the former minister of finance in Nigeria at that time, she was conscious about what this was, how big this was, how bad this could be to her country. So it depends country to country.
Okay. There, I'm afraid we must end our discussion. Thank you all for being with us today on Inside Story. And as always, thank you for watching. Don't forget, you can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website at aljazeera.com. For further discussion, join us on our Facebook page. You'll find that at facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And you can join the conversation on Twitter, our handle at AJInsideStory. From me, Adrian Finnegan, and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching. We'll see you again. Bye.